Take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14. I begin reading in verse 8. John chapter 14 and verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And now how sayest thou, Then show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live. And you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I was talking to Brother James yesterday, and while you're listening to this little story, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. There's a phrase in there that I want to use as a text, so I'll go ahead and give you that phrase. Where Jesus said, I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth. Brother James and I were talking, and he said, Tim, he said, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? I said, well, I'm going to preach on the resurrection. And he kind of giggled and he said, wrong holiday. You know the most dominating subject found in the New Testament is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The preaching that the early apostles did, the church did, the early church did, they mainly focused on a living, risen Savior. And you know, I realize the most dominating thing on the thoughts of people today is the birth of Christ. And He did come. He came. But most of the hoopla that goes on in the world, people are ignoring the most significant and most important and most meaningful aspects of His coming. They may celebrate the birth of Christ, though the early church never celebrated the birth of Christ. But they did celebrate on every first day of the week the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. As Brother JT so ably taught this morning. We live in a day where some do not believe that Jesus was born. We live in a day where people may believe that Jesus was born into the world, but His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection can have little or no significance in their lives. And really, when you start reading the New Testament, there's little recorded about the birth of Jesus. I mean, we have the accounts of Luke and we have the accounts of Matthew, but there wasn't a great effort made by the apostles or by the Holy Ghost to prove that Jesus was born. And if we were attempting to accredit His birth, using human reasoning or thinking today, we would probably say, well, we need a birth certificate. We need some kind of documentation. We may need to go to the courthouse at Bethlehem and see if there's a birth certificate on file. If one did not believe the Bible or the accounts of Luke and Matthew, the two gospel accounts that give us the record of His birth, one might say, well, you know, we maybe need some bills from the doctor, but there was no doctor there at His delivery. There might be somebody who would come along and say, well, we need proof. We need accreditation. Did anybody see Him on Thursday's baby being featured? Like Baptist does here in our community. Maybe Bethlehem Hospital had something similar in their town. But the conditions and the circumstances, of course, surrounding the birth of Jesus were supernatural. He got a seal by a star in the heavens. He was accredited by the heavenly hospital, the heavenly host. The angels came and shouted glory and announced that unto us was born a Savior. You know, when the church went forth preaching the gospel, they did not take some report of astrology to prove that Christ was born. They didn't go from town to town. The apostle Paul, Peter, John, those apostles, the church that was sent out into the world, they didn't take written testimony of those shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks by night, that they saw this amazing, magnificent sight of the angels that appeared and shouted glory. I tell you what they went into each town preached. They went into each town preaching Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. That He lives. Every gospel sermon in the New Testament includes a living, risen Savior. You know why? Because it is the best way to prove that He was born. I believe it proves unequivocally that Christ lives. And the things that we preach in the gospel, the things that we experience, the experimental personal evidence of a risen, living Savior cannot compare to historical or traditional evidence. Experiencing in your heart and your life a risen, living Savior is the best proof provided. Amen. That He was born in that barn in Bethlehem. Is there anyone here this morning that questions that I was born? Any of you seen my birth certificate? I may not even have one. Anybody here checked with a hospital in Franklin, Kentucky and see if there's any documentation concerning whether a boy by the name of Timothy Don Benyon was born in 1962? I mean, would I have to prove to you this morning that I was born? No. You know why? Because you know I'm alive. And And that's plenty of proof that I was born. You don't need a birth certificate to prove that you were born if you're alive. And many of you have had different encounters with me. We've had fellowship together. You've heard me preach. We've worshiped together. We've sat down at meals together. We've had good times together. We've had bad times together. We've gone through sadness and we've gone through joy. You know I live. And thus, I was born. If I proved to you this morning that Christ is alive, no one can deny, no one can doubt that he was born. I believe I'm able to do that this morning. This morning I can produce a kind of argument, conclusive, that proves that Jesus was born. You know how I do that this morning? By preaching to you that he lives. Affirmed in the text from the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 is an affirmation. He not only says in this text that I live and I was dead, but I live forevermore. He was dead, and I believe it was the most suspenseful occasion in all of the earth. I believe in all of the world's history, the most suspenseful time was when Jesus was in the tomb. Spielberg cannot compare to that kind of suspense. But he's not in a tomb. On the third day, he arose. And he is alive, and he is alive forevermore. He is so much alive today that he hears us when we pray. You know, as well as you can hear me this morning because you are alive, Jesus Christ can hear me when I pray because he is alive. Now, I don't know, some of you may go to the cemetery and you stand at the grave and may talk to a corpse. I assure you, he does not or she does not hear you. But Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And he hears us when we pray. You know, when and I got a little ahead of myself. But the thing that accredited the life of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was alive, was the apostles. Paul, you know, when he went into Lystra and there was a lame man there, and he saw that he had faith to be healed, and he was healed through the power of Jesus. You know, James and John, when they went into the temple and they saw the crippled man, and they said, laying there at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but since I give unto you, I give in the name of Jesus, through the power of Jesus, through the authority of Jesus, because Jesus is alive, rise up and walk. Amen. All of those things, all of those miracles of the New Testament that we read about that occurred through the apostles and through the early church was because Jesus is alive. And accredited that he still has the power, the same power he had when he was in his earthly body here, walking among his disciples. But he's in his earthly body there today, at the right hand of the Father. Any church or preacher that does not furnish proof of a living Redeemer is not worthy of your acceptance. Any person that does not see in his Savior a living Christ with present power to save has no business calling themselves a Christian. Well, while I'm on a roll, let me say this. The church that has not faith in a living Redeemer, who cannot furnish proof of his life and his power and his majesty and his glory, should abandon their religion. They ought to quit mocking the world. because they have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Amen. Jesus is alive and His power is present. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if the whole world were to stand up against me, there is no way they could not make me believe that I did not in my heart and by faith see the Lord Jesus Christ in the hour of my conversion, and by His divine power, because He is alive, He freed me from my sins. All right, the point is this. There is a personal experience, a matter of an inward consciousness that is more satisfactory than 10,000 false theories, than 10,000 speculations of philosophy. It's something that a man can have that teaches him, that witnesses to him. It is a gift from God that he receives, that he knows came from God, and provides overwhelmingly, sufficiently proof that Jesus not only is alive, but that he was born. You know, I've always been willing to accept a fair challenge of anyone who challenges the power of Jesus. There is no doubt in my mind that today He is alive and that He is mighty to save. All right, let me give you some infallible proofs. Proofs that are now convincing in the mind. Overwhelming proofs. Let's look in our reading lesson. John chapter 14. Turn there with me. Let's notice first of all, and I've already mentioned this, that He hears us when we pray. People dead do not hear. Dead people don't hear. But only those that are alive. Notice in these passages. This is what He said. All right? He said this. Verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why does He do it? Because He hears it and it's according to His will. He said that, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, who's going to do it? Jesus is going to do it. He has the same power now as He did when He was here in the earth. Amen. He had the power to forgive sin and work miracles, and He still has that power today. Amen. Why? Because He lives. Now, I believe it was John that said, we have this confidence, 1 John chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 14. He was talking about having this confidence. He said that we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Does Jesus hear you when you pray? More importantly, does He answer you? Does He answer you? I tell you something, if you're praying and Jesus answers you, you know He's alive. Right? And proof that He is alive is proof that He was born. You know, what a blessing it is to have Jesus. You know, we offer up prayers according to His will, and He hears us. He answers our prayers. Thank you for that testimony this morning. She said, I've been asking things in the name of Jesus, and He not only hears me, but He answers me. I'm telling you, you want proof that Jesus lives, that He was born? You call call upon His name and He will answer you. Anyone that approaches the throne of grace and they do it humbly and sincerely and they're prompted by the Holy Ghost and they offer up prayers according to His will, Jesus always, 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 always answers them. I'm telling you, this could not happen if He was not alive. You know, I was thinking about this, and I mean, He's so much alive. He's so much alive that if you pray right now, He can answer you within 2 hours. I tell you what, He is so much alive that He can answer you as you speak the words. Let me tell you something. He is so much alive, He'll answer you before you speak the words. Praise His holy name. I serve a living Savior. He can read my heart, know the thoughts and the intents of the heart, just as He did when He was with His disciples and among the Pharisees and Sadducees. He still does that stuff today. Amen. Number one proof. He hears us when we pray. I mean, it's that's a powerful testimony this morning. When He grants our petitions, He not only hears us, but He answers us. We've experienced it. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. We've enjoyed those blessings that have come directly off the throne of grace. Number two, I'm going to give you another proof. He gives us gifts. Notice here how that He said clearly in these passages from John chapter 14 that He would give us gifts. Jump down to verse 27. Here He makes it very plain. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, when I ascend to the Father, I will come back to you. I will come back to you in the form of the Holy Ghost. All right? He said, I will give you gifts. In the book of Ephesians, Paul said that when He ascended upon high, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, that He ascended upon high. He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men. Notice in verse 27, He says this. He says, peace, in chapter 14 of John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Anybody recently got any peace from God? Jesus said, I am the one that grants peace. I give the gift of peace. Tell you what, if there's going to be any peace in the world, it'll be through Jesus. Amen. Peace, I give it. He says, and not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus is giving peace. He talks about giving the Holy Ghost, giving the Comforter, the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are gifts that Jesus has given us. And it's all around us. It's in this church house. People that have received gifts from Jesus. Gifts to teach. Gifts to pray. Gifts of love and charity. Gifts of kindness and compassion. We have gifts all in this church house that came from Jesus. Gifts to preach. Preaching's a gift. You can say what you want to. Anybody that's ever known me or know my life know that my preaching is a gift. A gift. Look all over the place. It's all around you. People that have gifts that have come to them by Jesus Christ. Jesus gave them these gifts. You go out to the cemetery this Christmas, and if you lay a bunch of presents on a tombstone and expect to receive presents from dead people, we're going to have you admitted. Dead people do not give gifts. Oh, but living people do.
And Jesus is alive. He's very much alive. And the presence that he has received, given to us, and we receive from him, those wonderful gifts that we enjoy, they were given to us by a living Savior. Amen. All right, number two was gifts. He gave us gifts. I wish I had more time here, but I the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I may need to go a little farther with that. Notice, look in verse 18. Now let me go to my third point. I'm giving you five foolproof proofs of the birth of Jesus. Number three, let's notice in verse 18. He gave us guidance. His presence. Look at verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look in verse 28. Drop down to verse 28. Jesus said, ye have heard now, I said it unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. My Father is greater than I. Look at verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. All right. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to come again unto you. He went away, but he came to us. His guidance, his presence through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is just as much God as Jesus was God. Amen? Amen? And we read here in these passages that he would come to guide us. He would come to help us. He said another place, he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. 28th chapter of Matthew. Anybody sense the presence of Jesus lately? Huh? Anybody experience the fulfillment of these promises where he said, I will be with you. I will be present with you. Anybody here this morning sensed and felt the presence of Jesus? If that promise has been fulfilled in one single heart here this morning, it is a testimony to the fact that he lives. He said, I would go and ascend to the Father and be there. He said, I am alive, and I'm alive forevermore. And proof of that is that we sense his presence and his power. Jesus is with us. We feel his presence. I mean, he's alive. He's alive. Risen from the dead, he's alive. And he's present with us. He said that it's expedient that I go away. He says, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. If I be raised from the dead, he said, I will send him. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. That's going to bring me to my fourth proof point. Conviction, guilt of sin. Anybody here ever experienced the condemnation of sin by the Holy Ghost? That's proof that Jesus is alive. If there's one single sinner here this morning, or one person who has been uneasy in their heart or their soul through the Holy Ghost, where they've lamented over sin and they cried out to God for mercy and mourned because of their iniquity, it's because Jesus is risen from the dead and is alive. We would not have the conviction of sin. You might notice that I was reading those passages in the 16th chapter of John. If you want to look there in John chapter 16, where he was talking about how that the Holy Ghost would come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. It's a testimony. It's proof. It's a convincing argument. Not only in favor of his resurrection, but also proof that he was born. I tell you what, all the songbooks you sing and all the Christian literature that you read cannot compare to a personal, inward witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where he convicts you of your sins, brings you to a place of repentance and faith where you believe in Jesus, he said in these passages. And I read that extra verse there in chapter 14 where that he said that this would happen, that you might believe when you're convicted of your sins and you're brought to realization that Jesus is alive and will judge you for your iniquities, and you call upon his name and he gives you peace like the world cannot give. He is alive. You can say I've got the wrong holiday if you want to. But the most infallible proof there is that he was born is that he lives in the hearts of those who trust in him and believe in him and turn from their sins. Oh, me. Let me get on my soapbox just for a minute. Uh-oh. Let me speak as a man just for a moment. I believe it's easy for the world to doubt that Jesus was born when the church cannot feel the presence of Christ. When church members assemble and they don't feel the presence of Jesus Christ, when sinners are maybe convicted a little bit but not converted, it's easy for the world to doubt that Jesus was born. But if there is a felt presence of Christ among his people, if there's an exercise of gifts, as we talked about, I'm talking about fresh gifts, not some old stale stuff, not stuff that you get through going through some technology or training of the world. I'm talking about gifts that come from God. I'm talking about spiritual anointings, empowerings of the Holy Ghost. When the church is receiving fresh anointings of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're still getting that. God has blessed this church with the calling out of men to preach the gospel. I wouldn't give you a half hallelujah for a preacher didn't have an anointing from on high. And let me tell you something. There used to be a day when the church could tell the difference. Amen. I can show you in history one time where they told a man he just missed his calling and didn't have the gift. But anyway, I'm talking about empowerings, anointings. I'm talking about gifts that come from Christ. Christ is alive and he's still giving the church gifts. Pastors, teachers, Paul said they were gifts from the Holy Ghost. Gifts by Jesus Christ. When we experience this stuff, right? And I want to affirm again that this is an experience. We are experiencing it. And it's proof that he's alive and it's proof that he was born. My fifth point. Let me close. I don't know if I can preach this point or not. But it's found in John chapter 14, verse 21. No, let me see if I can find it. My eyes get all. He said that he would come and he would manifestly, that's verse 21. He said this, he says, and will come, will manifest. Will manifest himself to him. He said this in verse 23. We will come unto him. And make our abode with him. Not only do we have our petitions granted unto us. Not only do we experience gifts that come from Jesus. Not only do we get guidance from him by the Holy Ghost. Not only do we experience the guilt of sin, the conviction of sin. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a glorious fellowship that we enjoy. Where He reveals Himself, where He abides with us, where He manifests Himself unto us. I have many, many memorable occasions where we had good times together, just Jesus and me. I was, this past week, I was going through Sears, and I was looking for something, and I went through the tool section. And as most of you know, Angie lost her dad a few years ago. And when he was alive, every year we would go to Sears and we would buy him tools. And I was walking through the tool section, and you ever had that burning sensation that starts, you know, that those of you that have lost loved ones where something just, there's a trigger that goes off, you know, and your eyes start watering and your nose swell, your sinuses swell up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Your heart starts burning within you. And it was, I remembered those occasions, those memorable occasions of enjoying life with my father-in-law. Now, none of you would probably go through Sears and have that kind of memorable occasion because you didn't know him. You never had experiences with him or fellowship with him. I'm telling you, when you know Jesus, your heart will burn within you because you have a living fellowship with him. And because of his power and his glory, every occasion that you have with Jesus is glorious. I'm not even going to go extensively about that, but I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I saw Jesus with the eyes, he was right beside me. There's nobody that could ever convince me that the Lord was not right there with me. I mean, it was manifested unto me, it was revealed unto me that Jesus was by my side, and whatever I had to go through, he was going to stick close to me through that difficulty or that trial. I'm trying to close. There are many undeniable, unequivocal, foolproof proofs that Jesus is alive. I'd be ashamed to invite a sinner to come to an empty tomb, to bow before a dead Savior, to ask one who cannot give him relief from his burdens. But I'm preaching a living Savior. And I challenge you this morning that if you don't know this living Savior, that if you will sincerely come to Him and call upon His name, He will experimentally reveal Himself to you. Amen. Nothing. No one could ever convince you that He was not born. Because when you experience salvation, He will live in your heart. Amen. He said, I'll come to Him. He says, I am in the Father and I will be in you. Just like I am in the Father, I will be in you. A living presence of Jesus Christ in your heart. If you'll sincerely come to Him, He said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I pray this morning, in the most unchristian time of the year, that's what Christmas has become, all the partying and hoopla, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost would come to you this morning and tug at your heart, draw you to a place of repentance and faith where Christ will be revealed to you in the manner that he lives, where he will forgive you from your sins and secure for you a peace and a home in heaven when life is over. We're going to stand and sing a verse of some song. I invite you to come. No, I challenge you. Are you willing to take a fair challenge? I'm telling you that today, Jesus will reveal himself to you. He's alive. Today, he will manifest himself to you. If you will call upon him and seek his face, you can see Jesus. There's no one that can ever convince me that I didn't see Jesus when I trusted in him with all my heart. Ah, I saw him. And he's alive. He will forgive you. He has the power to forgive you, just like he did when he was walking on the earth. He can forgive you today, but you must come to him. You must call upon his name. I'll tell you, this is the fairest challenge you will ever have. Not being proven by a man, not being proven by an organization that Jesus lives and that he was born, but proven in your heart by Jesus himself. Wow. Will it happen? It will today in your heart. Would you come and pray? Call upon his name. As we stand and sing a verse.